EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind of it?
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And a dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
We're about to take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Hello and welcome to the show, everyone. Tonight's guest is Russ from Sydney in Australia. He has had numerous UFO sightings, including 2 occasions where a triangle was hovering above. Russ will also be sharing experiences with astral projection and the paranormal. But before we hear from our guest, let's do the weekly shoutouts, starting with the 5-star ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts. So thank you to Dave Munnis, JB Kebor, Lizette S, and last but not least, Billy2112. These reviews are important for the show. Not only do I get great feedback from you, but it also attracts future listeners and guests. And finally, a very big thank you to our newest supporters on Patreon, Lindsay, Maureen and Glenn. It is very much appreciated. If you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles Podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode below. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show. Welcome to the show, Russ.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on today, man. And calling from the other side of the world in Sydney, Australia.
Yes, that's right.
Now, you have several sightings to share from New South Wales. Would you like to start at the very beginning for our listeners, please, Russ?
Sure. So thanks for having me. And it's a great opportunity to get these experiences out. I've kind of held them to myself for a long time. Quite happy to share my sightings. Earliest sighting was when I was 11 and we were driving along one of the main drags here. And what ended up happening was I noticed this white light and it was hovering and it was pretty low, but it immediately just looked unusual. And I said to my mum, you know, what do you think that light is? And anyway, so she's had a look and she was really intrigued. So she ended up pulling over and the thing was actually traveling and traveled over the car. I lost sight of it and I was really straining. I was trying to look up out the window and trying to look over the roof pretty much from inside and decided I'd get out of the front seat, climb into the back seat. But by the time I'd got into the back seat, all I could hear my mum was, you know, she was only saying one word and it was just repeated, you know, F, 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 F. And by the time I'd got there, the light had gone. And I'd said, where is it? And she said, it's gone. I watched it go. And She described it to me as the old tubes in the TV where they'd kind of flash down and then flash to a point and then disappear. And she said that's how she described it. So, and originally I thought it was an orange light, but no, I went and confirmed it, and it was a white light. And then there were a couple of other little sightings where I was with some mates and they lived out on a property. There was a light that was there and it was changing from red, blue and white. And I tell this story and people go, oh, that's a helicopter. But those lights are very separate and distinct, where this seemed to be just kind of merging into going into one color and into white and into blue and just kind of merging into the next. And I was really intrigued and I told my friends and they looked at it and was like, oh, yeah, what is it? But we didn't actually watch that for too long because we were going out and there were some girls there and we were about 17 and we all jumped in the car and the girls were there and the girls were ready to go, so off we went. So I didn't actually get to view what actually happened with that.
Priorities first.
So yeah, that's right. The girls are here and the girls want to go, so let's go. And there was another one where I saw a silver sphere, and it was it was quite early in the morning. What I was actually doing was I was busing runners for the local fun run. And so I'd pick them up, I'd take them to the other location, then they'd run back to their cars. So on a return trip, I actually saw the sphere, and it was a long way away. But it was a long way away. It was too far to be it was too big to be a balloon, because of the distance, but then it was also not a hot air balloon, because they're very, you know, and we don't even really have hot air balloons where I am. So the thing is, I actually took a photo of it. When you blow it up, it actually gets distorted around the edges. So it looked like either it was the quality of the camera and the picture and zooming in, it kind of distorted it, or there was actually some kind of field that was distorting it. And I show people and we all tend to kind of think that it was the latter. And again, that was just, and again, I was on time constraints. And this is the weird part, is that I've never actually seen any of these things take off or leave. They've either just disappeared or I've had to go. So, and this is what happened on that day. A really significant event was I was at a friend's place and we were sitting around and we were watching telly or playing games or having a chat or listening to music. I can't remember. But, yeah, we're both sitting there on his single-seater lounge. All of a sudden, there's just the whole cabin. Yeah, so where my friend lived, it was on top of a hill. He was in a cabin which was adjacent to his house, and all of a sudden, the whole cabin has started to throb. And the way that I always explain it is it was like this, and it was absolutely intense. And we looked at each other and was like, what is going on? And we stood up and we've walked out the door and we've turned to go and have a look under the past the awning. And what we saw was a triangular shape craft, and it was hovering and it was really close. But as we both stuck our head out, this light came down from it and shone down onto us, and my mate's fight or flight kicked in, and he decided to run, and that made me run basically. And we got inside and we closed the door, and I said, what was that? And he said, I don't know. And I said, why did you run inside? He said, I heard something in the bush. And I said, okay. I go, what did you hear? And he goes, I heard a rustle in the bush. And he said, then I heard these clicks. And he did an impression. It was like, anyway, so we're in the cabin and this thing's, the whole cabin's throbbing. And I looked at him and I said, this is it, mate. The great big portal's going to open up and we're going to go on an adventure. And the thing is, I don't know what happened, but I just remember that event passed and we were just still sitting there and that was it. But what is really confusing about this thing is that we were close, or we are close, and what happened was we didn't speak about that event for over 10 years. To me, it was like, well, why didn't we speak about it? And when I did mention it some 10 years later, he doesn't recall at all the whole incident, recalls nothing. And which made me think, like, why haven't I thought about it all that time? Like, why was I, you know, it's like I was able to remember or had that memory return. So it was really confusing. And at the time, you know, it was a bit of tongue in cheek, but in another way, I was a little bit kind of concerned that, this thing's going to happen. And I've ended up speaking to my friend. My friend has said he's got no memory of it. And I just think it's absolutely amazing that we didn't actually speak about that event or mention that event at all in that time. For me, there's something a little bit fishy there. Don't understand. So a little bit later, traveling from Newcastle down towards Sydney, and I was with a mate and who was driving. And what ended up happening was I looked to my right and I was looking past him. And I said, I wonder what that is. And I always like to refer to him as a grammar Nazi because he ends up saying, I don't know what those are. And I look past him and there's two lights and it looks like one's traveling behind the other. And they were orange light. We wound the windows down to hear any sounds of afterburners or jets or whatever, because there is a RAF base, a Royal Australian Air Force base that way. So instantly we've kind of gone, okay, these are jets. But as we wound the window down, we couldn't hear anything. It was nothing. But as we're driving too, there were people that were pulled over to the side and they'd actually stopped to watch the lights. And what happened was they were traveling one behind the other. And then all of a sudden they've done like a right angle turn. And then they're suddenly flying side by side. And what they've done is they've gone over the Pacific Ocean and out of view. So that was an interesting event. And we were cracking up because there was a guy on the car pulled over to the side of the road, and then a guy kind of stumbled out from the bushes. And we've gone, oh, he's just returned, or they just dropped him off. But So these events, they've kind of seem, rather than the one on the hill, these other events, they don't kind of compare to that event. But also there was another event on the same road. While on a buddy shift, we were with a client, and the client, he had an acquired brain injury, just liked to talk and didn't really draw breath. I found this really confronting because as we were driving along, I saw this orange light, and I ended up saying the other person that was, you know, doing the shift, what do you think that is, or what's that light there? And they said, oh, I don't know. And they said, oh, I've actually been looking at that as well, you know. And I asked the client that was speaking, I actually interrupted him and said, what do you think that is? And he said, I don't know, and just his interest was minimal, and then just continued talking. So in this time I'm looking at this light. I'm just in my own world and I'm thinking, what is this thing? So I'm watching it for probably a good 4 or 5 minutes, and it's just hovering, and it's an orange light, and it's not very high. It's, you know, it's as probably lower than, say, a helicopter would be in the sky. And so we turn right. We're heading towards it now. As we're passing under it and I'm looking straight up, something in my peripheral vision gets my attention, and I look, and it's this white light and heading towards the light while we're under the light. So just as we're passing under the light, I'm looking at it, and then I get in my peripheral vision something that gets my attention. I look, and it's this white light, looks to be traveling. It looks to be on like an interception course, and it's kind of traveling straight to it. And so I look at this thing for like a second, and then I look back at this orange light and it's gone. It's vanished. It's not there. And I'm thinking, what's going on? And still I've got client in the front that's still just having a chat. And so I'm in this kind of state where I'm thinking, what's going on? And my head's spinning and everything. And I don't know, it must have been out of exhaustion or whatever, but because I was sitting in the back seat, I've leant back and I've put my head back for some reason on the headrest. And there I found myself looking straight up, and I can actually see out of the hatch or out of the window of this car, there's the triangle, black triangle. And it's that close to the car that I can't actually see the whole thing. I can see the back and probably maybe halfway up to the front of the craft. So, and then that's it. I'm gone and my head is spinning and I don't really remember anything past that. I don't remember looking again to see if it had left. I don't remember saying anything. I don't remember. It's just, and this is where it gets a bit blurry because there's a few details that I want to put in, but I just can't be certain. And I just know that that was there, but it was like, as soon as that happened, I was gone. I guess I was in my head. I was spinning. Absolutely. My head was spinning. And I've actually got a date for that one. And that was in August, the 5th of August, 2014. So that's all the sightings that I've had up until now. But there's been another little journey that I've had. And at one stage, I actually was right into astral traveling and was really curious about that. And I bought this book, and this book had 10 proven methods. And on the day that I finished this book, it was like, yes, I'm going to do this. But then I ended up coming up. It was like I was given an instruction or something, because I ignored all of those 10 suggestions and did my own. I had came up with a mantra, and then I ended up writing the mantra down. Then I ended up reading the mantra on an A4. So each line was the mantra. Then I ended up reading it, and then I ended up closing my eyes and visualizing reading it and went to sleep. And, of course, you know, there's like specific conditions that help. So like having a little bit of a light on quite dim, you know, making sure that the temperature's fine. Everybody's, you know, I'm feeling relaxed. So during that night, so I'm laying there, I get this sensation of traveling through a tunnel. And the way that I look, the way that I explain it is that if you were driving in a car, you look either way and it's at night, you've got like a light through some trees or through some bushes, and you can see that there's a light on the other side of those bushes. Well, that's what I can see. I can see this, hear this whooshing sound and just these lights going off. The way that I remember this is that it feels like I was driving a car, and that was what my guide said to me. And I could sense that there was someone sitting beside me, and they were saying, you know, it's actually safer than driving a car. Okay, and then like that, we're standing outside of a house, and it's this house of glowing white, and it kind of reminds me of like one of those old barns that you'd see in an American movie, the great big red barn or whatever, but it was that big and it was white. And this person's still standing next to me, and I asked a few questions, but one of the questions I asked was so how quick is it? And then with that, I see there's a gun, and they're pointing a gun at the house. And then with that, the gun goes bang, and then we're inside the house. The window smashes. So it was that quick. We'd got there before the bullet. And so it's at this point that I look to my left. There's an alien. It was quite tall. It was white. I look at it and I start freaking out. It did this thing where it kind of put its hands up and it took a step back. It was walking backwards up these stairs. Then I started freaking out, like, oh, I don't want this experience to end. Come back, you know. And then I'm trying to go up the stairs, but I can't go up the stairs. I can only stay on my level. I can't go up there. And then with that, the being comes down, and it's in a form that you know, in human form, and it calms me down. And that was my first attempt at astral traveling. So there's another series of events that while astral traveling, and I tried to go to Mars, but I couldn't go to Mars. And every time I tried, and I remember trying heaps, and I was coming to a roadblock. On this one night, I had my guide there, and she said, "Why do you want to go to Mars?" She goes, it's only full of aliens and clones. Okay, so I stopped trying to do it after. Apparently, there's aliens and clones there. Another experience that I had, and I've had this happen a few times, where it's in the astral plane. What ends up happening is I'm walking along a country road, and it's dirt road, and come to a T intersection, and to my right, it's just a dirt road. It runs up through some fields, and it's a long straight road. To the other side, there's a bit of a straight road, but then to the right of that road, there's a craft, and it's traditional saucer-shaped craft, and it's got like a landing, like a boarding plank extended out from it, and so it's like I'm being invited, and so I go onto that craft, and I had my first time I'd went on that craft, and you got to remember, this is in the astral plane, but the first time I went on that craft, it was really, really strange, because I'm standing there in what I call a soul identifier, and these are small little greys, which instantly I know that they're robots or they're cyborgs, and I have this feeling that's what they are. And they're really, really, really confused. And you could see that they were really, really confused. Anyway, so somebody comes over, and that person, from memory, I think was like the same person that was the same being that was in my first astral travel. And they've come over, and he said to the little robot, alien robots, this is him. And you could see that they were still trying to explain, because they got something that was really weird on their reading. And for some reason, I've actually got a pacemaker, and they were somehow picking up that, either the energy or I don't know what it is, but they were really, really confused by it. Just really, really confused. So I've gone through. It was like very white, silver craft. Inside, looks very clean, and I make my way to what looks like a living quarters. So there's like a lounge, and there's a kitchen, and there's like all these things in this little living quarter. But the aliens or the astral beings that I saw, they had a really hairy face. They were really, really hairy, and I was taken back for a second. But the thing was, at the same time, I felt really at home and I felt really at peace.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
I've had this experience a few times, and on one of the times, don't get me wrong, every time I have these experiences, it starts off with like coming to that T intersection, and I've got a choice. Do I go right or do I go left towards the craft? And on one of these occasions, I arrived and I was actually presented with a small infant, a baby, and I was holding the baby, and the baby had a hairy face, and it was it just felt really familiar. I don't want to assume anything, but everything just felt really safe and very family orientated, and I felt like I belonged, and I was meant to be there. And But like I said, you know, there was somebody sitting down in like a lounge area and they were doing their thing. And then the person that actually, the being that presented me with the baby, they were actually going and they were preparing food and cooking, or they'd stopped doing that and they came over and presented me with in this baby. And so that was interesting. Something that's really always kind of, something that's always really bothered me is that I had one of these experiences when I was about four. And in this experience, it's like it happened yesterday. What ended up happening was I was seeing myself and my family. I was outside of myself and I was looking at them, and they're sitting on the lounge, and behind them was a window. And in the window, there was big bright light. Then this hairy being kind of comes through. And at the time, it really, really, really frightened me. And I ended up waking up. There was, and I had the sleep paralysis. And that's the first time I remember actually having the sleep paralysis. After all the astral events that I had, I came to understand that sleep paralysis, or when you wake up, is part and parcel. And it's best not to kind of move or do anything until you kind of remember every detail that you can. Then once you do that, then you go and you write it down. After all of those events, I had the sleep paralysis. I just, for some reason, I think that that event when I was four is connected with what happened in my astral experiences. So, no, it's funny because I haven't actually spoken about that and connected the two. It was it's just that experience and that dream was, like I said, it was like 40 years ago, is as clear as like something like that I dreamt, you know, last night. Yeah, so that's only really came to light in the last couple of years, where I was, you know, I was taking my astral experiences and then thinking, is that related? Because part of me just thought it was a dream. It was funny because I'd recently saw an episode of The Bionic Woman, and Andre the Giant features as Bigfoot.
That's right, Bigfoot, yeah.
And I thought maybe that's what I saw. Maybe that freaked me out, because it would have been around exactly the same time. And I always thought, like, maybe that's kind of crept into my psyche somewhere. But, you know, at the end of the day, there was a documentary, UFO-style documentary, and this is going back ages ago, like probably, 20 years ago. They said, oh, there was something like 73 alien species that were in contact with the Earth that the government knew about. Anyway, they showed like this picture of like all the species, and it was super quick, and the one that jumped out was this hairy-faced alien that I'm talking about. And even for that to kind of leap out at the time was, I feel like, is somehow connected.
So when you say hairy, do you mean as a beard or completely over the whole face?
Yeah, completely over the whole face. Yeah, just really the eyes and nose and mouth are kind of are there, but yeah.
And one of the astral beings that you described before, you were saying it was a white. Do you mean actually the skin tone, or?
Yeah, skin tone, but also glowing. I think the light of the metaphorical house, or my spiritual house, or was maybe enhancing it. But yeah, no, it was that same being that came up and spoke to these little, you know, the little 3 foot tall aliens that kind of get around. There was just something that instantly I just thought, oh, these are robots, and I was totally convinced and comfortable with assuming that.
So going back to the sightings with the triangular crafts, the one in mm-hmm. 2008 and 2014. Now you got quite a good look at them because they're pretty much right above you.
Mm.
The one that was above the cabin, can you pick out any detail to the underside?
It was just straight black. I couldn't make out any seams or anything like that, any joining in any way. There was the one light that we could see, the one towards the front, but it was partially over the awning, and we didn't stick our head all the way out because we were a bit cautious. And what ended up happening was we both were had a look, but like I said, we stuck our head out and that light came on. He ran, which made me run, and it was low. The thing is, I think what happens is you just, speaking personally, I just trip out in a sense where I just totally go inside my head and just, and my head rushes like with a million questions all at once, and it's just absolutely out of control. No, but I don't recall any, but there was the definite triangle, like the angle was there, and that angle was very definite. It wasn't like it was rounded or anything. It was like a triangle, like an angle.
How big in relation to the actual cabin size wise?
Okay, so I'd have to say about the size of like a large, bit larger than say like a station wagon. Probably, I'd have to say it was as large as say a station wagon.
Okay, and the one in 2014, same relative size or?
Yeah. And my theory about that is the orange light was an alien craft or an alien craft, but the black triangle, I feel, was sent to intercept it or to scare it off, and I actually think that was man-made and was piloted by a human, and I think that's the same one that kind of hovered over the cabin, and I think there was some silly bugger up there thinking let's give these guys a bit of a rush, and I really feel like those triangular crafts were man-made and were piloted by humans, just because of the fact that I feel like it was going there to scare off this orange craft that was hovering in the sky. Look, it probably I've thought about this a lot, but yeah, maybe like some kind of listening device to see if maybe we were talking, but all they would have heard was the young bloke with the acquired brain injury chatting at 100 miles an hour. And it's just that it's so, I think my head was rushing so much that I can't tell you if I looked back, can't tell you exact details. All I know is that it was that close that I couldn't actually see the whole craft. I think was about the same size and was that close to the car that I couldn't actually see the whole craft. But it was definitely triangle because I could see the back, the straight back bit, like the rear of the craft, which was straight. And then the angles going up into looking like they were going to form a point. And the thing was too, where this actually happened, I went back to the shops because right where the orange light was, there was a set of lights and some shops there. But also to the right of myself was a hill with all of these units and houses and all of these lights, all of these people living in these places. And it's just for me that somebody must have seen what was going on. And I went back to the shops a few times and said, look, has anybody mentioned anything or have you heard anything? And I went to all those shops and was basically, thought of as a crackpot because, you know, I'd say, well, this is what I saw and this is what happened. And it's just, I cannot believe that I was the only person that saw that, considering that it had been there for at least 5 minutes and that other thing, the triangle was so low. It's just, can't believe that I'm the only person to witness that.
And the sound the first one made above the cabinet, was it like a sound kind of coming waves, the sound?
I don't actually recall hearing anything outside when we went outside the cabin, but inside the cabin it was just this pulsating throb, felt like it was going to shake the cabin apart, and it was a super intense, loud intense, and it made us jump up and go, what's going on? And yeah, and just so weird that we didn't discuss it for 10 years. And it was like I'd only remembered it, or the memory had come back. It was weird, really strange. It was mind-blowing. And that's the other thing about that other sighting, is that when I think about that sighting, where it hovered above the car, it's just like my head was rushing, because I couldn't, you know, things that big aren't supposed to hover at that speed. I know that there's things in the sky, but they've got to be going fast, and if they're not going fast, they fall out of the sky. And this was just going with us and just over the car and just matching our speed. Yeah, and none of it made sense. So, look, can I tell you about this other experience that I had? This was actually before I started astral traveling. So, or not started, this event actually started before I decided to actively attempt to do to astral travel. So I was living in Sydney at the time. I had a dream that started with myself walking with this other friend, and we were going to the local penny arcade, the local pinball arcade. And what ended up happening was, this is in the dream, is that we stopped at the nearby servo, and then we continued on. But before we could actually get to the pinball arcade, which was across the road from the beach, I've looked up to my left, and above, flying along above the beach and on the shore, was a helicopter. And in my dream, the helicopter had a light that was not rotating, but moving up and down. So it would point down and point up, but each time it went into my eyesight, it would flash into my eyes, and it would go up and then come back down and flash into my eyes and come down and repeat. So, and I've looked at this thing, and I said in my dream, I said, oh no, it's happening again. And with that, a UFO has come over, picked me up, taken me across the Pacific, and then just dropped me in the water. And every time I tried to swim or tried to get my head above the water, was like I was being electrocuted, and I just had to keep still and just sink. And it was really scary. What ended up happening was I've woken up and I've had the sleep paralysis and didn't really think much of it. And I know that it took me a long time to actually move, and I was trying to move, but it just, I couldn't. And fast forward 15 years down the track, I'm walking with my friend. On this day, we're going to the video shop. And the video shop happens to be the old penny arcade. So we get to the servo that I was talking about. This friend of my friend was driving, has seen my friend, and has just done this crazy U-turn. And I always say it's like a man, he was possessed. It was, I don't know what it was. He's just reefed the car around. I always like to describe this guy as like a Nord or a Nordic, because he was tall, white hair, blue eyes, slim. And I always like to kind of, as I was trying to put all these pieces together, I always think that's a bit funny and have a bit of fun. So anyway, this guy comes out, and anyway, we tell him where we're going. He goes, yeah, okay, that's okay. Jump in. Anyway, he doesn't go the direct route. He goes up and he goes around the back, and he's driving like an absolute fool. And he goes up this hill, and he goes around the back way and the long way. But it was just, he was driving like an absolute madman. And on this day, we're going to the video shop, and we're going to get something to eat. So we've got to where he's dropped us off. We thought, oh, we'll go and have something to eat first. And as we're standing there waiting for the food, the helicopter comes over, and instead of the light that's swiveling up and down, it's just flashing. It's not tilting up and tilting down. It's just flashing. I say, oh no, it's happening. Because I was just really, really cautious on this day. Like, I was looking left, I was looking right, even though it was a one-way street. I was looking left, I was looking right. I got across the road and I watched this thing fly past, and I was looking for this UFO, and I didn't see it, of course. But then I started putting pieces together. Like, if he hadn't have came and picked us up, we would have been, by the time we got to the Penny Arcade, this thing would have happened. I would have been in the exact position that I would have been in relation to the time, you know, and how fast we were walking. And
Telepath is a weekly digital newsletter filled with the latest paranormal news, trending topics, and fresh articles from some of the most popular critical thinkers in the community today. Stay informed on your favorite paranormal podcasts and live streaming talk shows. Interact with the Telepath and upload your paranormal story or pics. It could be featured in an upcoming edition. Sign up right now for the free Telepath newsletter at paranormal.radio. That's paranormal.radio.
My feeling is that maybe I went back in time and it's been changed, because where this UFO's picked me up, it was a car park. And so there's people coming down the hill. There was a road across from it. There's people turning in from the road, from the other side. You know, the car park's busy. Then all of a sudden there's this distraction of a helicopter that's flying over. I'm looking at that. They're looking at that, and I feel like that perhaps maybe something's happened and I've been picked up, transported back in time, and then that events have been altered and here I am now. So, again, I keep using the word possibly because it's one of those things where you put the pieces together and people like to make things fit, and it makes them feel better when there's like some kind of connection. But this is what I've actually come to believe, this is what I've come to understand or put into place to kind of make sense, which it doesn't make sense. I'm talking about being picked up, taken back in time, and then having those events altered so that that event didn't happen. And so that's my little time traveling adventure. This is why I say possibly and use terms like that, because I am really creative. Past health issues from when I was a kid, you know, I've spent a lot of time heavy sedatives and while I've been healing and in hospital. And so I actually wonder how much time and how many contacts I made in that realm, if that's where you actually consciousness hangs out during that time. And so the astral traveling was actually really easy to do. It's not as easy now because I've done a lot of self-healing and I've become a lot more grounded than what I was. So being more grounded has actually made it a lot harder for me to actually do those things voluntarily as it was in the past. So the thing is, it's just that experience is one of a mind-blowing for me. It's just I don't understand. I don't know why I saw the helicopter. I don't know. I just don't know. That's my understanding of it, and that's what I've come to terms with, is that this event has happened. Must have went back in time, traveled in time.
Like I always say, you know, anything is possible.
And yeah, every day we're finding something new about the universe or consciousness or dimensions, and it's just and if it wasn't for all that stuff, it would be a very ordinary, boring, bleak world. I feel really grateful for having these experiences, as long as it doesn't put me in the loony bin.
As confusing they can be to people, it makes life interesting. You know, it makes it makes you feel that there is more to what we see and touch.
Definitely. So I just don't understand how often and how many times that these events have happened, and now I don't think twice about telling people about the UFO sightings. I'm a bit more hesitant about my theory about why I had the dream and then had the event happen in real life. I don't really kind of share my theories about that. And that's what I have to say. Like, for some reason, like, you know, because I am a really creative person, and it's, I think, you know, am I just putting pieces together to make it make sense? Or anyway, it gives me some peace of mind and I don't have to think about it after that. I can say, well, this is what I think could have occurred, and I'm happy with that. Can I just, I'll just tell you one more thing, if that's okay. Just I had a ghost experience. I don't like ghosts. I don't like ghost movies. I don't like ghost stories. It really freaks me out. But I was living in a place where I kept having this sensation that somebody was there, and it felt like a young energy, and it felt playful. And what ended up happening was I'd be sitting in the lounge and I'd get this sensation that somebody was peeking around the corner, you know, and I'd say, go back to bed, you know, and I'd be speaking to my daughter. I'd go, okay, go back to bed. And then I'd get up and go in and she'd be asleep. Okay. Anyway, this started happening when she wasn't there. And there were other little things like, you know, things would move, like something would be here and then I couldn't find it, and then it would be somewhere where somehow it got there. And so, you know, playful and always seemed like a bit cheeky too because of being out of bed or whatever. So, and it was really weird. I went back to my old workplace and I met by chance this woman that was from South America, and I hadn't spoken about this to anybody at all. Like, I hadn't mentioned it to anyone, but for some reason I decided to mention it to this woman, and she ended up saying, oh yeah, we've got a strong belief in ghosts and spirits, and I said, how do you get rid of it? And she told me all these different things, like all these different methods that they use, like putting water outside and then kind of herding it out with sage, and apparently spirits are attracted to water, so you know, that's how you would lead it out of the house. And she said, or before you go to sleep, ask the spirit to tell you in a dream what you need to know. And I thought, oh, that's more up my alley, you know, doing the astral stuff. And one night I actually did. I said, you know, please come and see me in my dream. Let me, you know, try and help you if I can, and blah, blah, blah. And so in this experience, I was in a bed, and it was an infirmary of a prison. And I think the prison's really symbolic. And as I'm laying there in this bed, straight ahead is a door and a corridor and then another door. There was a girl there, and she turns around and she goes, what's in there? And I said, that's where all the dead people go, sweetie. And with that, she walked into that door, and I never felt her, sensed her, or anything again since that experience. Yeah, but it was funny, because leading up to that, I had to come to terms with it, because I'm such a scaredy cat when it comes to ghosts and ghost stories. I had to kind of go, all right, I'm sensing her, she's here, this is happening. And so I started doing things like clearing a space next to me on the lounge. I go, come on, come and sit down. And rather than being fearful, was more accepting of the fact that I felt like there was this ghost girl, ghost child in the house. Anyway, I ended up asking the after I'd kind of feel like I've sent her to the other side. And she was in this corridor, which seems to me is like limbo. I think the prison was symbolic because she was trapped. And I feel like after that event, that I was able to help her. She was able to move on.
It sounded like she, you know, she wanted help, and you know, you made a connection with her, and then yeah, you sounds like you helped her out there.
I think without a doubt, I was in the right place at the right time, and I actually met the owner of the place that I was living at, because I was renting at the time, and that was her family home. Her family had built that, but she had no idea what that would have been referring to. Like, she couldn't recall anybody passing in the place or anything like that. So how that energy came to be at that place.
Well, Russ, I really appreciate you coming on today. You did great.
Thanks, Nick. Thank you. And no, like I said, love the show, and I really like being able to have this opportunity, and also being able to hear other people's experiences, because you know, it makes me feel connected and not alone and part of a much bigger picture.
We're not alone. You're not alone.
No, good on you. And thank you again.
We have come to the end of tonight's episode. Keep updated and connected with me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you or a family member has had an encounter that you would like to share with me and the audience, email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com or head to my website and connect with me via the contact page at ufochroniclespodcast.com. Big thank you to Russ for sharing tonight, and thank you for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.